RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. So, Josh, we have got a very killer episode to talk about this week.
Yeah, yeah. You don't think this is the feel-good episode, huh? Just based on the title?
Yeah, of course, when I heard the title of this episode, I was like, oh, this is all going to be sunshines and puppy dogs. Because and it's all about Slade Wilson.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like about his golf game. He has a mean golf game. So.
Hand me my woods.
He keeps them in his bag. He pulls them in out of his back, you know, like a sword. He just gets his 9-iron. Whoosh.
That'd be cool. Yeah, he's got his 9-iron and his wood kind of strapped crisscross across his back there. So, oh, hey, before we get into the episode too far, I was just going to say, I need you to sign just this document here. Just give me control of the podcast for the rest of the season.
Oh, you know, thank you, because I've been so busy. So if you could just take care of that stuff for me, I would.
I thought that would be great. Yeah, no problem. I'll be sure to return the power back to you when I don't need it anymore. It's like said Emperor Palpatine in the most, you know, banal way ever. It's like, of course, you'll return it to us, sir. Okay, so what episode are we going to be covering here? We are really getting heavy into the end of season two here. I know.
I feel climax approaching in the season. This is episode 18 in season two, Deathstroke.
Stroke.
You got to say that dramatically. You can't say, hey, Deathstroke, what's up? let's see. Deathstroke appeared. No, he didn't appear. Boy, I can't talk tonight at all, can I? The episode aired on April 2nd, 2014. It was written by Drew Z. Greenberg, and Mark Guggenheim wrote this one. So, good job, Mark. Directed by Guy B. So, hey, visiting Starling City? Why not see the sights with Deathstroke Taxi Service? You know, that's at least what Thea Queen thought would be a good idea. Hey, there's this guy I saw once in my mom's house. Yeah, sure, I'll accept a ride. But then, you know, old Slade Wilson ended up dropping her off at the corner of No Hope and Ayudeme Street. Yeah. Sebastian Blood was waiting for her, and he holds her there for Slade until he eventually broadcasts her captivity to everyone at Moira's mayoral debate. Which is hard to say, so that would be a bad name for a business. But Moira's mayoral debate, which was looking to be like a pretty good debate until all of a sudden, you know, Thea pops on. That was a chilling scene. We can talk about that. But that
okay.
Was,
yeah,
that,
yeah. Let's bring that up.
Whoa, man. Team Arrow, of course, jumps into action. You don't threaten Oliver's family, man. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. It's a very time-consuming thing, and that's way too time-consuming for him to worry about anything that's going on at Queen Consolidated. Ollie lets Isabella Rochev take over for a while. You know, they've had a little relationship in the past and some relations in the Russia. So he lets her take over for a while, no problem. And then, of course, he lets Officer Lance arrest Slade because he knows Slade was the one that took Thea. And he lets Roy do some stuff in this episode. Hey, when it comes to Thea, no holds barred, Roy. You go crazy, man.
No more slapping water.
No more. Yes. Water slapping is definitely out. You slap some bad guys now. This all turns out to be a series of very, very, very bad ideas. Now, Isabella runs the company, and she's working for Slade. Officer Lance has been arrested, Roy has run off in a huff to do his old supposedly vigilante thingy. You know, we don't really know what he's doing, but he's definitely run off. He's disgruntled. He's a disgruntled Arrow employee now.
Right.
And if that wasn't enough, Slade has a big secret to tell Laurel.
Mm. Interesting. And I was afraid we were going to have to wait till next week to find out what that secret was.
No, he told her right away, and then he just left. So,
yeah. Oh, and just by the way, I believe it is. It's just Isabel. It's not Isabella.
But why do I do that? I always do that. She just.
She seems like she should be an Isabella, though. Because she's
always
beautiful.
Put the A. Always put the A on Isabella. Yeah. It's just my accent. It's my Colorado accent.
Hey, Isabella.
Isabella. Isabel Rochev. Okay, I gotta make a big note for me. I'll put that right here under my signature that I just signed. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, so what do we got going on?
Well, so just a quick bit of news here. So we're off next week, as Arrow is as well, because of course there were such big reveals here that they need to give us an extra week to catch our breath before they head into the home stretch with the final. Six episodes here that we're going to get. They're going to be 23 this season, and this is number 18. So, no, I guess it's only going to be five then. So
five episodes. Yeah, okay, wow, so geez. six weeks, but five episodes.
Five more episodes, right?
Well, I will. I'm gonna take a big breath and get mentally prepared for what's to come.
Well, if it's if any of the previews I've seen, it's going to be one of those things where you're watching the episode and you forget to breathe until they go to commercial, and then you're like hyperventilating.
All right. So there's your warning. Do your breathing this week.
Yes.
Because next week you're going to forget.
You may buy a ticket for the entire seat, but you'll only need the edge.
All right.
Okay. So what are some of the things we found out in this episode? Well, the one thing that I thought that was great is that basically Oliver has been playing into Slade's hands since the beginning of the season. It seems like everything, and this was mentioned, I believe it was last episode, that Oliver kind of made this revelation, but we didn't, you know, there wasn't much other action taken on it, but, you know, Oliver says, you know, previously had said, you know, how am I supposed to, you know, defeat him? You know, he's been planning this for so long, and I just found out all this information because that's when he realized that Deathstroke was back in town, or that Slade was back in town. So we find out that Slade has an amazing long-term plan for Oliver, for Starling City, and for the Queen family. I guess in general, there's so much going on there.
He is not making this up as he goes.
No, I mean he actually took his time and did his homework.
Yeah, yeah. He oh man. Okay. And it's so complex that, but it's working. Everything is working exactly the way he wanted it to.
Everything is coming together as he has foreseen it. A famous. I mean, this is totally. These are Machiavellian type moves. I mean, this is like, and you know, I wasn't joking around earlier. It's very Emperor Palpatine. I see a lot of Star Wars in here, you know, because as we saw in the prequels, it's like, how the heck could Palpatine be pulling the strings for doing this and making the clone army and getting the Republic to do this? And it's like, everyone's playing into his hands. It's like, it's just long-term planning. And that's what so many people just don't understand or can't see, is that the ability to play that long game and to understand the people that you're playing against. When I do this move, how are they going to react? Like, Slade understands Oliver's head.
He knows completely
what button to push.
And Oliver's pretty consistent with his actions. You know, I mean, his character is pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. You know how he's going to react. And
you threaten his family, he just reacts.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what we've seen.
Immediately he reacts. Or somebody he loves. You know, I mean, it could be anybody in the Lance family as well.
Sure.
So I believe it. It's believable that Slade would be able to do this stuff for me, because he knows Oliver very well. He spent a lot of time with Oliver, and he sees what he loves and is able to manipulate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's so the one thing that I found, and it's not that I found any of this stuff really hard to believe, I guess. It was, it's just I would have liked to have seen a little bit more through the season. So you mentioned Isabel Rochev, who is, I don't know, we've seen her in, I'm going to say, like 3 or 4 episodes now this season. She was there at the beginning, heavier than she featured in the last, you know, couple months here or something like that, especially since, like, winter break. But she's popped in and out. And she's partnered with Oliver as someone poised to, you know, potentially take over, to hostily take over Queen Consolidated. But Oliver is able to buy up enough shares so that they are split 50-50. And, of course, in this episode, she is able to convince Oliver to sign, you know, a piece of paper. Well, no, that's the thing. It's not even her idea. It's Oliver's idea, or, you know, the wheels are set in motion so that Oliver comes to the point where he has to make the decision consciously to sign over control of his company temporarily to Isabel. And then, of course, like, I immediately saw that as like, well, dude, you just signed your own death warrant right there.
Yes. Yeah. But we know more about Isabel than he does, obviously. Just I mean, the character of her, not necessarily in the show, but
well, in what way? What are you thinking there?
Well, we know that in the comic storyline, you know, that she is definitely somebody that Oliver has to kind of fight against, and mm-hmm. so we know she's a bad guy, is what I'm saying.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, we've known since she was put on this show that she's had a history of being the bad guy.
Well, she wears dark colors and has dark hair. She's obviously the bad guy.
Well, yeah.
You know,
but so does Oliver. You know.
Well, he's dark green, though. I mean, green, you know.
That's true.
He's
green's
aligned
a happy
with
color.
The forest's characters, and I think he's neutral good.
Yeah. So, but I did, of course, yeah. I mean, that was a pretty clear indication that something bad was going to happen because of the signing. But I think it was all planned out. She did suggest it. She didn't suggest herself, but you said she nudged him in the right direction, and it was perfect timing. And, of course, because she ended up working with Slade, I think that was all arranged as well, the timing and knowing how he would react to it and knowing how she has set up this semi-professional relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I think it was all.
Ah, yeah, that's true. I completely forgot about that part of it. They did knock some boots, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Back in Russia.
In Russia.
At the beginning. Now, and see, at the beginning of the season, you know, it was a very strange, uncomfortable, not relationship, but agreement with her coming into the company. And
mm-hmm.
and I guess Moira, didn't Moira have some sort of reservations about her? She had known her first. Is that right?
She didn't like her. I do not recall that.
She didn't like her. So Oliver, you know,
Moira doesn't like many people though.
That's true.
Nasty.
Well, she likes strong men. Robert, let's see, Merlin,
Slade.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Oh, so. Yeah. There's a little pattern there going with her. I just realized that. But so, you know, but after a while she kind of cozied up to Oliver a little bit. And I think, and obviously that was all planned. So now that they have that sort of connection, or at least Oliver thinks they do, he trusts her and he sees how she's been running the company. So you can see how it's all played out all season long. And knowing that now that Slade was the mastermind of it, it all makes sense.
Well, and the other thing that we see here at the end of the episode is Brother Blood, basically Sebastian's having a temper tantrum in front of Slade.
Yeah,
which I think is hilarious. I mean, like, now we're really seeing Slade pulling these master strokes out, right? I mean, he's on the end game, right? I mean, if he's like a chess grandmaster, you know, he's making the last 2 or 3 moves that he's going to use to topple the queen's king, as opposed to King Queen, as they mentioned in this episode.
I thought that was funny.
You know, so Sebastian's having a little hissy fit, and we see that Isabel is standing there just, you know, like, what is up with this guy? She seems so much more in the know and aware of what is going on. I found it really interesting that, you know, we thought at the beginning of the season, of course, that Sebastian was kind of the big bad behind it all. Then it was revealed that Slade was behind it. So it's like, okay, so Blood's number two, and he's in on a lot of stuff. But we saw that there were things that he wasn't quite in on. He had to keep going back and asking Slade for permission to do this or questioning him about that. And in this episode, we find out that Isabel is, you know, more in control and at a probably even a higher position than Sebastian is. She is in on such a higher level of the plan than he is. That kind of shocked me a little bit that she has that much inside track, I guess.
Yeah, but I think now you're seeing how much of a tool Sebastian has been for Slade, and a tool in other ways as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, so he probably thought the same thing. He probably thought he was the number two in position, you know. But I think he's starting to see now that Slade's got a lot more up his sleeve than he had anticipated. He doesn't even care, really, what Blood gets.
Yeah, well, Sebastian thought he was AB positive, and he was actually O negative. So, one thing I'm wondering about, there has been... just while we're talking about Slade here, I wanted to speculate on a couple things. We've talked previously, or it's been brought up previously in the TV show, that Slade Wilson has a son that he hadn't seen. But we haven't heard anything else about this. In the comic, and the son's name is Joe Wilson. Now, in the comic books, Joe turns out to be a mute... and deaf character who has the ability to project, his consciousness into other people's bodies. And his name is, his character's superhero name is Jericho, and he's a member of the Teen Titans. Do you know this? Am I remembering this?
I don't know much about Jericho.
So I think that's the case. But, you know, there really hasn't been any other discussion about Joe, the character of Joe on the TV show or anything like that. So I'm just wondering what, you know, do you think that that's going to come back into play in any fashion that this mysterious son who... Well, I mean, we don't really know how old he would be. It's, in the comics, he's, you know, a teen titan, right? So he's probably Roy's age or something like that. Do you think there might be any kind of revelation with that?
If there is, I think it's going to be way down the line, maybe even next season. There's so much going on, and they don't really need him as anything to drive the plot. I can't see them bringing him in necessarily. But, you know, whatever ends up happening to Slade could very much affect, Slade's son needing revenge or helping him or something. So I don't know. I don't really see him coming in, but that would be interesting. I had kind of completely forgotten about him.
Now, there's also another, this hasn't been mentioned on the TV show, but, Slade Wilson does have another child, in the comic books, an older son. So if Joe is his younger son, his older son is named Grant Wilson. And he is another villain character called Ravager that shows up in the Teen Titans and has been resurrected by Brother Blood at different times in the comics and worked with Hive, which we've talked about before as a group that hired Deadshot to assassinate Diggle's brother, potentially, based on, you know, again, the word of Deadshot. But at this point, you know, he's seeming like probably a more honorable person than a lot of the other characters we've met on the show. So I'm wondering if at some point that that character may show up on the you know,
that
on the
I can
show
see.
As well.
Yeah, I can see that being a bigger possibility sooner.
Mm-hmm. It's just there's been no, you know, mention of that character or anything like that, so I didn't know what you know, it's kind of all in the family sort of thing. So.
That's true, but there's just been so much going on. I kind of forget about those little background things that they mentioned. So we got to pay attention to those because
yeah,
they're very liable to come up. I believe it.
And what I was also noticing this week is Isabel has a, you know, it's a different actress than the one that plays Shadow, but Isabel's character, you know, looks similar at times to Shadow. And so I'm wondering if, you know, Slade has some sort of, you know, healthy or unhealthy relationship with her in terms of that. Like, you know, oh, hey, you remind me of my dead girlfriend that I still see every now and again and tells me to do things. So
it's not a good pickup line, by the way, if anybody's looking for one from this episode. I noticed that, too. As a matter of fact, there was one scene. I can't remember if it was Isabel in the scene, and I was thinking at first that it was Shadow, like just my first thought, or the other way around. I saw Shadow and
thought it was
Isabel.
Yeah, because there was that scene at the end when Blood's throwing the hissy fit, and... We were cutting from looking at Isabel to cut back to Slade and Shadow standing right behind him. But then we cut to the wide shot, and of course she's not there because it's a figment of his imagination, and we were only seeing her on the close-ups of Slade. So that was interesting.
I did notice that too, and they do. You're right; they do have kind of a similar, almost like a similar facial structure.
Mm-hmm. You know, both dark hair, both, you know, very beautiful women. Uh-huh. And, you know, with his missing eye, maybe, you know, it's just like, you know, he can't really quite tell the difference or something like that. So anyway,
it's his depth perception. That's why he's not a very good golfer.
Right.
He has to hit it really hard.
Right. But, Isabel, I was also going to say, we find out, boy, she's got some definite moves in this. Like, you know, she's dressed in her boardroom attire. Oliver, you know, puts her right up against the wall and is, you know, choking her, and wham, she not in a good way, puts her legs up around his neck and you know, wrestles him down to the ground. It's like, wow.
No, but you have to think it explains, you know, why they did kind of get together out in Russia there, because this is the kind of guy that Oliver's into, these tough women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Moira's got a thing for tough men, Oliver's got it for the tough women. So,
well, you know, they say you always go for someone like your mom, I guess. So I don't know.
Maybe his mom's got some moves too.
Yeah, I mean, she's you know, as far as tough women go, she's pretty ruthless, I guess, is the
for sure
word that I would use. So, this you know, plan that Slade's got to, you know, grab Thea, reveal, you know, again, you know, brilliant things. It's like the bad guy, the person you should never trust, he's the one that's telling you the truth, like, all the time. Again, I saw a lot of shades of Star Wars in this, especially stuff from the prequels. You know, you've got in Attack of the Clones, the Sith Lords are the ones that are always telling the truth, and Jedi are the ones that are always lying. You've got Count Dooku telling Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, there's a Sith Lord in control of the Senate, and Kenobi's like, I don't believe you, and he's like, okay, that's fine, everything I've told you is true, you know. And it's the same kind of thing. It's like Wilson kidnaps her, it's like, he's not hiding who he is. It's like, hi Thea, it's me, Slade Wilson, I've kidnapped you and brought you to 1234 Main Street.
You know, we know that. We know that he's telling the truth, and we know that there's these other lies and stuff going on, but it was shocking, I guess, to me how quickly everybody else believed it, how quickly Thea believed it, how quickly Laurel appeared to believe it. You know, you got somebody who's clearly a bad person coming up and telling you these things, and you're like, oh, really? Like, is it possible that they're lying? For crying out loud, Thea is in there in this warehouse where she's been kidnapped by this guy,
right.
And he's like, okay, you can leave, unless you want to know what I have to say. I'd be like, okay, see ya, bye.
What has it got in its pockets? Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what I'm losing perspective on, is the fact that I know that what he's saying is true. And...
Well, and you're right. He is, and they're very convincing, and you got to admit, you'd be curious. I just don't know that I'd be as quick to believe him. You know, I'd be more like, when my mom and Oliver come in to the police station to get me, I'd be like, okay, it's so great to see you guys. I'm so glad we're all safe. I need to talk to you, though, and you need to be honest with me and tell
Slade
me.
Told me this really weird thing.
Yeah.
Is this true? And then, but, you know, at that point, then, of course, if they were to say, well, no, of course that's not true. Like, how bad does that make Oliver? You know, I mean, at this point, and you know, of course, this is all a riff against last week when, you know, when Thea was like, Oliver, you're the only one that continues to tell me the truth.
Yeah. Until now.
Yeah. You broke my heart, Fredo.
Well, and it doesn't bother me. And actually, that probably is in real life. I mean, people do tend to believe stuff that they hear, but and it would have come out anyway. But I'm just, wow. I mean, these are bad guys. Why are you so quick to trust them? Don't be. Come on, just get out of there.
But again, we also know that they're bad guys. I mean, yeah, it's like if somebody, oh hey, you know, you need a ride. It's like, oh sure, hey, this isn't my house. Get out now. And, you know, and then you get captured and put in a room and you're held by people with guns and stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think I probably would, like you say, I probably would feel more, less trusting of, you know, someone who did something like that.
Yeah.
To me,
Slade is very convincing, though, and he clearly knows how to manipulate.
It's the accent, man. Is he so cool?
He is cool.
Okay, I like it, man. Whatever.
He's like, okay, you can tell me your secret. I don't even care what it is. I just want to listen to you talk some more.
So, we've done this for, you know, the bunch of the past episodes here. We like taking a look at the title, and much like with the last couple weeks, where we've got these titles that are apparently very clear cut. They're not as thematic as maybe some of the ones that we've talked about previously, like Suicide Squad, Birds of Prey. But as we started discussing them more, they seem to reveal other layers to them. So I wanted to ask you about the title for this episode, which is just called Deathstroke, which on the surface, yes, of course, it's about Deathstroke. That's the name of the character. That's what they, quote unquote, have been calling Slade. And I forget what he says about it, but he seems impressed.
Flamboyant.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yes.
I like that part, too. That was good.
And he had some great lines in this episode, too, I thought.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, just some good one-liners. And did you notice when they shot him with the Tibetan pit viper arrow when Oliver shot him? I think it was Oliver that shot him with that, right? When they, like you said, Roy went and slapped him around a little bit. He went back down in the chair like the Memorex dude listening to the to the tape.
I didn't think of that. That's awesome. They just needed like a big like a stereo in front of him or something.
Yeah, I want to get a screenshot of that and
nice.
Photoshop it with the stereo in front of him blasting him. So,
well, you know, I as far as the title goes, you're right. It is very very literal. I think we could read a few things into it. I'll be glad. It looks like the next couple of weeks we're getting into some more thematic type titles, and mm-hmm. I kind of like those titles because I like talking about them. But
but also thematic titles that appear on the surface, you know, to have one real clear meaning, but then I think as you start scratching under that surface, that you see,
right.
Like you said, you know, there's a lot of other things that reveal themselves.
Mm-hmm. And they're very good at that, at weaving those themes throughout. So, Deathstroke, you know, Deathstroke's the name of the character, but I also think that in this episode, some characters were sort of, they were given a death stroke, you know, I mean, it was a blow to them that really knocked them down mm-hmm. toward the bottom. Mm-hmm. Starting with, because it was at the beginning of the episode, but starting with Thea, she obviously, you know, kidnapped and very low, very scared, very bad stuff going on. But then finding out the secret about Merlin, man, that just, it destroyed her in a way that almost nothing else could, because mm-hmm. it tore her away from her family, which is really all she has.
Right. Well, I mean, she already was severed from her mom, and had been for a while. They were starting to kind of come back together, but I think that the stuff with Oliver was putting quite a with Oliver being mad at his mom for the unknown reason or whatever. I think that was starting to drive her further away again.
Right.
You know, because they've never been extremely close. So they were doing better at the beginning of season two. They had kind of repaired some of those issues. But I think I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing with Thea's character too. It's really interesting to see the arc that they're taking her on. And, they dropped a lot of the characters, the normal characters that we see down to a lower level. Again, Thea being one of them. So, that was just, like you said, it was kind of the last blow. It was the one thing that could... Well, it was definitely the one thing that could turn her away from Oliver, because they seem to have such a close relationship. And, you know, last week she basically lost Roy. So that was one of her big, touchstones, right? That was just, you know, uh-huh. the thing that was holding her steady. So she was already knocked for a loop from that. And then at this one, boom, they kind of knocked the other leg out from under her. Well, Slade did by, you know, revealing this information that obviously, you know, Oliver knew. And that's the fact. I know it seems suspicious from kind of a real world perspective, but, you know, dramatically it's quite a blow, because, of course, as an audience member, you know, we are all privy to the fact that, yeah, he's known this for, you know, months now and hasn't shared it with her. Even though, I don't know, I think he is probably the only one that could have told her the truth and had her take it appropriately. But, of course, by holding it as long as he did, then, you know, that's, all right, you screwed it forever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He could repair this one. And this would be a good place to start. He's just got to put his pride aside and, you know, just... bite the bullet and sit down and talk with her and beg for forgiveness and explain why he did it. But we'll see how that goes. He needs to hit bottom for sure.
Yeah. I definitely see this as, you know, I mean, and as we'll go through some more of these, here in the, from this episode, but basically Slade has eroded, Oliver's power base. I think that except for potentially Diggle, and
Felicity,
right. You know, there's no one else that Oliver can implicitly trust. Not even Sarah, because there is enough distraction for Sarah as well with her family. So let's go on. What else do you see here with the death stroke?
Well, I think Roy got the death stroke. Mm-hmm. Just finally fed up with Oliver. And let him know it and stormed off. And I think he's going to take matters into his own hand, which I kind of like how that character is working out.
He brought
that up
really, really good points, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, even Oliver saw it. Oliver realized it by the end.
Well, Oliver's, yeah, by the end when Oliver realized that basically, you know, again, he had played right into Slade's hands. He's like, oh, I see what I've done. You know, it's like, oops, now I realize what's going on. But, you know, Roy pointed out these great things. It's like, you know, pointing to Diggle, he's like, you're special services, and telling Sarah, it's like, you're a deadly assassin. Why are you listening to Oliver, who obviously is so blinded and can't, you know, see properly what's going on? Why are we listening to him? Why don't we just take this guy out? And it's a great question.
It is.
Like, why... What is the reason that they are relying on Oliver's judgment right now, which I think everybody knows is a little clouded because of how personal
Oliver,
this is.
What makes Oliver so right? What is it that they think? I mean, is it? It's I think, at least for Diggle and Felicity right now, I think it's just his leadership and where he's taken them. So they're kind of putting some faith in that. But I think they're going to have to. Well, I don't know if they're going to have to question it. It seems like Oliver's now questioned it himself.
Yeah.
And so maybe they can just stand by him and they can work together to get done what needs to be done.
So I mentioned a little bit earlier in this episode, but in this Suicide Squad episode, we were talking a lot about honor. And is it because of Oliver's stance on, you know, not killing this season and, that honor that he's taken up? I mean, is it that heroic ideal that Diggle and Felicity are kind of, you know, they've bought into that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's completely it. And you you said honor too. I like the hero idea, just the idea of the whole hero part of doing what's right. Mm-hmm. But I also think the honor and commitment of being with Oliver because they know who he is and what's inside, what's in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily what every decision is doing, but what his intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Diggle and Felicity are very honorable characters and would stand by you.
I kind of as we go on to the season, I kind of think back to the I believe it was the name of the first episode for season two here, which was City of Heroes, which is if we look at that at the beginning of the season as what they're using as the episode to kind of set up this arc, which is season two. And that's what they're doing. They are taking these characters and they're turning all these different this multitude of different types of characters into heroes. It's everybody has their own little hero's journey that they're doing this season. Whether it's Oliver learning what it really means to be a hero, these other characters looking up to him, starting with characters from scratch like Roy, or taking characters that are basically. Morally dark or morally gray, such as Sarah, and moving them more towards a lighter side.
So, yeah, that is how it all kind of connects to that first episode. That's cool.
Yeah, so that's it's just cool because we know that they like doing these kind of connections for the season. So that's stuff that's been kind of running through my head for the past couple of weeks that I've been watching some of these episodes. So what else you see? Any other death strokes?
Well, we've kind of led up to this. That's why I saved it for last. But, Oliver obviously has gotten some big death strokes from everything that's happened. Roy leaving and Thea knowing the truth and just the way everything has gone down. And then in the end, and he doesn't know this yet, as of yet. Mm-hmm. But, Laurel now knows his secret as well. So he is definitely in a bad place. So he is starting to hit the bottom.
Yeah. So, and then we've got, there is one other death stroke, I think, that has been, is kind of foreshadowed here. And it's not necessarily just for our characters, but for the city itself. And again, we saw this at the end of season one with Malcolm Merlyn, who had been planning the what was his not the Awakening? What was his plan called?
I want to say the Happening. That's something else. Happening. That's a different.
Anyway, so he had this whole plan, set the earthquake machine off in the Glades, and devastate the whole section of the city and everything like that. And it appears that the secondary plan of Deathstroke, Slade Wilson's idea here, is to give Blood, Sebastian Blood, control over the city and a way to build an army and, take control of the city. Because he was throwing this hissy fit where he's like, but now you're making me lose in the polls. How am I going to become mayor? And it's like Deathstroke is telling, or Slade's telling him, you don't understand. I've given you all these tools to take control of the city. It's like, you're not going to be mayor, but I told you you're going to be able to take control of the city. I mean, like, he is saying, you know, we're going to raise an army and we're going to flatten this place, you know, and take it by force, not through any conventional means, but, you know, using, you know, the influence and the Mirakuru and, you know, whatever else it is that he's got in his bag of tricks there to you know, take control of the people of Starling City. And what's he want to do with it? I don't know. I mean, that's like, you know, maybe he hasn't thought that far ahead. It's like, I've got the city. Oh, yeah, what am I going to do with all this?
You know? I have a feeling he knows.
You think he's... you're pretty sure he knows there.
Wait, you think he planned up to that point and then stopped, you think?
Or? Yeah. And then some other stuff happens. We'll figure that out later. Let's go get a drink. Long day.
No. But you know what? I also wanted to mention, I think, apart from the title, which was I think we pulled some pretty good stuff out of that title, considering mm-hmm. how simple it was. But I saw that there was another kind of a running theme throughout, and it came through a line that Moira said and then was repeated later on by Oliver.
Oh, okay.
So she was talking to Oliver. I guess they were at her house at this point. You know, she's looking out what I think was the window. She was looking kind of off of camera there, and Oliver was behind her. And she's talking about her kids, and she always gets real, you know, dramatic and emotional about her kids. But she says, you know, from the moment your children are born, you worry about what the world will do to them. But you never think that you'll be their worst enemy. I don't know. That seemed to be, or it's like, I think that's what she said, or their own worst enemy, where Oliver is kind of doing this stuff, causing this stuff to happen, unbeknownst to him, of course, mm-hmm. you know, but all the stuff that's going on with Slade Wilson is because of him. And then he sort of sees the same thing after Roy leaves and Thea's mad at him. He's realizing that he caused a lot of this stuff because he was too short-sighted to see what was going on. He didn't realize how big a picture this was being painted to crush him.
Yeah.
Which he really should have seen as soon as he saw Slade was back.
Yeah, what the line that she says here actually is, she says, from the moment your children are born, you worry what the world might do to them, but you never stop to think what you might do to them, which is true, right? Because that's, you know, she has caused as much damage to her children as the world has caused to her children.
Yeah,
maybe more so. But then she also goes on saying, you know, she pauses and then says that we could be our own worst enemy.
There you go.
And that's, I think that's what you were talking about, because Oliver repeats that line later in the episode. He says, I am my own worst enemy, right? He's down in the Arrow Cave. Sarah's left to go see what's up with her dad. Roy's walked out, and Felicity and Dick are the only ones left. And he's like, he's just wallowing in a pool, you know, big pity party right there.
He is. But it's good that he realizes what he's done.
Sure.
You know?
And again, I think Oliver's been, you know, kind of like Laurel was taken down to her depths so that she can build herself back up. We've got a mini drop here for Ollie in his arc. And, you know, we've taken him down, you know, basically as far as he can go. He's now recognized that, you know, he's got a problem, and so he can start building himself back up.
He can, but he's going to need help, and I think that's what he was realizing at the end. He can't do this himself. His decisions aren't always right. Sometimes they're making it worse. They're making it happen. So he's really got to start relying on Diggle and Felicity, and I suppose Sarah too.
I just came up with the, I know exactly what's going to happen, I think. All right. So Oliver is going to go over to Slade, and he's going to say, you know, I got a deal to make with you. And Slade's going to say, you know, I don't want to hear anything. He's like, no, just hear me out on this. I'm going to set you up with this great girl. She's in jail right now. She goes by the Huntress. She's got a few daddy issues, but that's okay because, you know, you got a few, you know, lady issues. And so I think the two of you would hit it off really well.
He's going to be Hitch. That's nice. Now, you know, hey, that's all you need is a little love. You know, Slade's just missing out on some love. That's
yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a I think that's a really interesting theme, and it's been a theme, you know, for this season as well. The fact that there's so many characters have been their own worst enemies. Laurel, again, in particular, has really taken herself, you know, to the brink, and you know it's no one else's fault. I think Roy suffers from the same thing. He is blinded by rage and his emotions. You know, a lot of the things that, again, kind of just going back to Star Wars, that you know you see the characters who have to learn power. They have to learn to, you know, control these sort of basic instincts here so that they can ascend to the next level of, you know, consciousness or power or whatever it is. And, you know, again, Oliver kind of plays in the hands. It's like he's been telling Roy all season, you got to learn control. And then Thea gets kidnapped and he's like, you know all that stuff I said about control? Screw it. Go get him. He's like, really? Okay. You know, and then he basically calls him off at the last minute. I can totally understand where Roy's coming from. He's got to be completely frustrated and rightly kind of confused by the messages he's getting from Oliver. It's like, don't do this. Let's go do this. It's like, what are you saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when he got there, it wasn't what he was hoping it was going to be. He wasn't able to stop him at that point.
I thought that was so great because it's like, you know, it's that clever thing. It's the, you know, the bad guy, he wants to be caught. Well, you know, kind of like the way the Joker just got apprehended in The Dark Knight.
It's like, yeah.
Why was the Joker able to get caught? Well, because he wanted to get caught, because he needed to get caught, because that's what his next step in his plan was. And, Lance, I think, also played right into the trap here, and I feel horrible for him. But,
yeah.
Again, you look at the questions that are being asked, it's like, Inspector Pike or whoever it was, Lieutenant Pike? He's like, why did you listen to this guy? Like, he's the vigilante, and you just arrest somebody on his say-so? It's like, yeah, come on, Quentin. That was a rookie move.
I'm a little disappointed in certain moves that Lance has been going through the last few episodes. Number one, I think he needs to find out who the Arrow is. Number two,
I think Laurel might tell him.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know if she will or not.
Well, maybe.
But I also think that he's been a little bit too quick to partner up with the Arrow. You know, I mean, he almost like calls him as almost like his partner now, you know, and no matter what he says, I mean, you know, last season, obviously he didn't trust anything. He was out to get him, you know, but this season, I don't know. He just seems to kind of go right to him and trust everything he says, which maybe is part of kind of what bit him. But the other thing is, you know, you don't have to necessarily let people know, you know, don't, especially in the police department,
yeah.
You know, don't let them know that you're working with him. If you have Slade arrested, you've got to find a way, you know that as a police officer, you have to have a legitimate reason. You have to have evidence.
So when he's going to go in there and he's going to be like, okay, this perpetrator, he has been shot by an arrow in the chest. Look, here's a gram of cocaine on the floor. Okay, so we're going to take you on suspicion of possession.
Oops, what's this?
Well,
yeah, but
I found this.
I feel sorry for him. I guess, you know, he was kind of given a death stroke, too. We could have put him on that list, but I felt sorry for him. I mean, he did. He got...
He got played.
Yeah, definitely. But then he got arrested, and he was right. They found out that it was Slade. So he was right to begin
with.
So whether he was listening to him or not...
Right, so
still...
they don't follow up on that at the end of the episode. I'd like to think that at the beginning of next episode, it'll be like he'll be getting out. You know, because I thought it was... First off, I think he's really thinks probably that he's got nothing left to lose, right? He's already been busted down to officer from detective.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, oh, great, you're going to fire me. That's the next thing you're going to do. But, you know, I don't think he saw that that he was going to get fired. Or, I mean, that he was going to get arrested, I mean. And,
no, he very clearly didn't realize that.
Yeah, because he's like, you know, can you, what was it that the other officer said? It's like, you know, can you tell me some other good reason or something that, you know, he was arrested? And he's like, or no, he says, tell me where the arrow is, you know, the vigilante is, because you've been working with me. He's like, I can't tell you that. He's like, well, that's not good. And he's like, I know. Like, I'm totally with you, man. And he's like, I'm going to have to arrest you. It's like, what? So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I felt sorry for him. Poor Lance. He always gets the short end of the stick, no matter what.
Yeah, he's got to find out here. I mean, this season, he's got to find out who Oliver is. And I'm hoping that will make it for better storylines. I hope it won't be then like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this now. I can't work with you for another six episodes or whatever. Because, like you said, I've enjoyed the relationship that they've cultivated here. It's just that they've gotten almost too close that, you know, like we've talked about, it's just getting kind of ludicrous that he hasn't figured it out yet.
They need to keep it a little bit more, you know, Commissioner Gordon, Batman kind of relationship instead of just giving him a call on the phone. Hey, what you doing, buddy? I'm a beat. Thought you might want to come hang out.
So I was reading the new issue of, it's a digital comic. Actually, it might have been like 2 weeks ago. Of Injustice, Gods Among Us, which is based on the video game. And in it, Batman's been really beaten up by Superman. It's an alternate world, or it's an alternate reality where Superman is kind of trying to take over the world and has a number of superheroes that are working with him in the in a regime. And then there are a bunch of insurgents that Batman is leading. Most of the Bat characters and non-superpowered characters are on his team. And there's a scene where so Batman's beaten up, Commissioner Gordon's trying to find him, he confronts Superman, and then he like needs to go talk to somebody. So he goes knocking on this nondescript building and is like, Barbara, I know you're in there. And everyone's going, how does your dad know that we're here and that you're Oracle or whatever? And so they let him in, and she's like, I don't know what you're talking about, Dad. And he's like, come on, what do you mean? I've known that Bruce Wayne is Batman forever. It's like, I'm a detective. You know, he's like, I knew that you were Batgirl from the first day you snuck out, and I've known this. And he just starts rattling off a list of all these things that he knows about, you know, the Batman characters and stuff like that. And Barbara's just really shocked by it. So I think that I would kind of hope that maybe Lance knows a little more than he's letting on at this point.
Yeah, and I want when they do finally reveal whatever he knows or he does find out, I want him to react in a different way. I mean, quite frankly, how upset would he be if he found out, Oliver Queen was lying to me? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it! I just thought we were closer than that. You know, I mean, he should be like, Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. Yeah, well, he's helped me out a lot. I guess I'll keep it up. You know, I want him to react in a different way other people will.
It's almost like he doesn't even know Oliver that well. I mean, like, you know, he and Oliver have this relationship that's very, you know, perfunctory. It's like, oh, you know, you're dating my daughter and I kind of know you. And, oh, you killed my daughter and I hate you. And it's like, oh, you're back. And, oh, my daughter's back. So, okay, you're kind of cool. But he doesn't really understand him. He understands the arrow much more. I think he can relate to the arrow. So,
That's why I want to see him when he finds out. I want him to see. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Well, maybe Oliver's. Oh, I see. I got it.
Yeah, I mean, I want him to see that. It doesn't really matter who the arrow is because, like, I like the arrow. I don't really care who the arrow is. Like, I don't see that being even a correlation for him, right? Because
exactly.
The arrow does what Lance wishes he could do, I guess. Maybe it's like that wish fulfillment kind of thing so that it's Oliver? Oh, okay. Well, I have no opinion on that.
and if he has that kind of reaction to it, if he has that kind of attitude after he finds out, they can use that in the writing. You know, he can help protect the secret when it comes up. You know, he can help when Arrow is out there doing his stuff, and Lance hopefully will be back in there doing something someday. I don't know. He can kind of be an inside police person that keeps the secret, and that kind of keeps Oliver's ability to continue to do that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is, it just kind of, and I hate to keep bringing it back to Batman, because I really do feel like they're different characters, but I feel like that's a lot of times in the history of Batman comics, Commissioner Gordon has been kind of a proponent for Batman's...
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so... Anyway, so let's hope they kind of go there with Lance, because he needs a good pick-me-up. I mean, I guess he's got a few this year. He got his daughter back, but then he lost his wife for good, and, you know, so he's had his fair share of issues.
Yeah. So while we're talking about Lance, let's talk about his daughter here, Laurel. So we only get a little bit of her at the end. I wasn't sure what to expect. You know, I'm waiting for, you know, kind of Slade to go big, and he goes, you know, low, and it was very chilling the way they ended that with him revealing that Oliver is the Arrow. I'm like, okay, because I figured that actually was what he was going to reveal to Thea. So I did too. I was kind of glad that that still is a mystery for the family. And probably will remain that way, I'm thinking, for a while. But, okay, so Laurel knows now. For those out there keeping track, I think that's 22 people that know Oliver's secret.
Hey, City of Heroes.
Yeah. But is that... My question is, how is Laurel going to react? Because I think Slade's plan, right, is to turn Laurel against Oliver at that point. Has he done that?
I think at first it will.
Okay.
I think at first it will. And I don't want that to sound like a cop-out answer. But
you always
take
the easy way.
Well, I think, you know, the first reaction is going to be shock, like it would be for anybody.
She had a good shot. I thought she was going to fall down there. She was staggering around so much.
Yeah, that was good.
She's going to need a drink after this.
Oh, dear. No! But I think what I would like to see is Laurel needs to, and has started to turn back into that good, strong-willed character. And I would really like to see her take that information and go, okay, wait a minute, why is Slade doing this? Okay, you know what? We're going to turn this around on him. I'm going to talk to Oliver. We're going to work this out, and maybe we can use that against Slade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I would like to see, you know, because, right, so she was the one that first basically called Wolf on Sebastian Blood, right?
Yeah.
And then, oh, wait, no, she's mistaken. This is all part of her addiction and stuff like that. And she seems to have kind of, like, she's not sure what's real, I think, at this point with that. Blood talked to her at one point. I think it was at the mayoral debate.
Yeah, it was right before the debate.
Right. So, she says that she wishes him good luck and stuff, and, you know, it's like water under the bridge, and, you know, she's not making waves or anything like that. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think I'd like to see her realize, well, wait a second, and then maybe she has to do a little bit of digging or something like that, but she puts two and two together. She kind of realizes, well, this may be true about Oliver, but yeah, why is Slade telling me this, or why, you know, let me know so that she can go to Oliver and say, okay, we're going to pretend like this is a really big deal, but then Oliver is going to use that as, like, you know, she confides in Oliver and it's not a big deal for her or something like that. And
yeah, and I'd like to see this backfire on Slade.
Yes.
You know, this could be kind of the beginning of the end of this plan for him.
The beginning of the end of the end of the beginning?
Yes.
So, this could be the one thing that undoes him. I'm also wondering how, you know, actually maybe the way that this will actually play out will be that she goes to tell her sister. She's like, oh, you got to stay away from Oliver. He's bad news. And it's like, well, why? And, you know, Laurel says, well, because he's the Arrow. And maybe Sarah then says, yes, but I've got something else I need to tell you. You know, a little honesty between sisters there, you know. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Dad already knows this. I'm a member of the League of Assassins. I dress up in black leather and have a sonic
fire. Let's just put it all out on the table right now.
So that'll be really interesting. I'm interested to see what's going on with that. But we got to wait. Got to wait 2 weeks now until we can get our fix on that. But again, they will be going straight till the end of the season. So
ramping it up.
Yeah. Since we've been talking about blood here a little bit at the end, I wanted to point out what I thought was a really beautifully acted scene between Sebastian Blood and Oliver Queen. It was right before the mayoral debate. And Oliver's like, have you seen Thea? Thea's missing. And Sebastian's like, oh, well, that's probably my fault.
Yeah.
Beat. And I'm like, oh, this is, they're just letting it simmer there. And he's like, you see, I caused all this gridlock. And she's probably just stuck in traffic. I'm like, that was delicious. I mean, it's, again, it's the bad guys telling Oliver the truth. But he can't see it. But we know it, and it just, it's that extra level of intrigue and stuff that's going on. It was just,
that's just mean.
Well, just think, once Oliver finds out what's going on, he's, you know, we're gonna get those flashbacks of you know, everything that Brother Blood said during the episode. It's like, it was me. It was me. I did that. And Oliver's just gonna snap and punch him in the face or something, or, you know, put an arrow in his eye. Whatever.
That doesn't work. He needs to aim somewhere else.
And the one thing we haven't really gotten to in this episode, and I don't know that we have much time to talk more about it, not that it necessarily relates much more to the episode, but it is the island storyline, which is just kind of a continuation of what was going on, but Slade showing that he still is kind of one step ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. We got Anatoly giving some great lines as he's trying to dismantle the landmine. I'm liking that character more and more. And, you know, they try to plant the bomb on Hendrik. And I figured they were, like, having Slade come to... I figured they'd find some neutral area to go give Hendrik off. But to have Slade come there to collect him, that just... I don't know. That didn't seem... Right, but
it felt a little weird. But then you got to think. I mean, Slade knows where the plane is. It's right. Not like that would be a hideout.
Right, right. I mean, that would probably be the only place on the island, save maybe the cave that Oliver and Yao Fei were hiding in back in season one. That may be the only other good place to hide, because I think the camp who is it that fires had in season one got blown up, if I'm not mistaken. So there probably isn't any place there for them to stay.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes you wonder, maybe, you know, so Anatoly's final comment to Sarah was, when did you get so bad, I think was what he said. You know, basically indicating, you know, that she's become really devious in all this. Now, again, the boat, in the first episode of the season, is shown basically split in two, meaning that there was some kind of big explosion that has to take place on it. So I'm wondering if Sarah was being devious enough that they made the bomb that Slade found, but then maybe she knew that the Mirakuru, I don't know how anyone would know this, I guess, at that point, but knew that he'd be able to smell the TNT, and so that they have another TNT bomb on him someplace else, but, you know, the easy-to-find bomb is the one that masks it. I don't know.
Where'd they put the other one? Like, down the front of his pants, or what?
I don't know. Like, yeah, he's wearing, like, TNT underwear or something like that. I don't know. That would not be cool, but I don't know. That might be. So I guess we'll have to see how that plays out. It's amazing they keep bringing Ivo back. He's he's a really tough guy to get rid of. Every time I think he's dead and gone, that he's still alive and kicking. They're dragging him back here and there and everything. So
he's in bad shape, though.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it, I have to say. We got a couple references in this episode back to the comic books, which are always interesting to look at. I think we knew this before. I want to say that we discussed this back in season one, but Quentin's middle name is revealed as Larry. So Larry Lance was one of the husbands of the Black Canary in one of her incarnations. So Quentin is a new name for this, you know, kind of character, but Larry Lance is a comic book character, actually. There is, as Roy drives away from the city, so, I mean, like, I don't know where he thinks he's... Maybe he's going to Bloodhaven to get Nightwing and come back or something like that.
Well, Bloodhaven's in Starling City, though, isn't it?
Well...
Or is it a separate place?
Well, he was leaving... I mean, it looked like... I thought it was a sign that he was leaving Starling City.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to Central City. Go talk to Barry for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Well, that could be it. You know, that's not actually a bad idea. There might be precedent for that. We'll have to see. But anyway, he drives by a sign. This Starling City is a star city. So in the comic books, the city that Oliver Queen is from is called Star City. So that's a nice little nod there. I mentioned the Tibetan pit snake viper venom that Sarah was using to set up the arrows that they were going to shoot Slade with, which, you know, probably would kill any normal person, but, you know, just works as a sedative on him. So, give him a sedative!
It gets him really relaxed so he can listen to his Memorex tapes.
Yes. And then Felicity references Barry Allen in here about where she... someone says, you know, well, what's the worst that could happen? She's like, well, I told a boy the truth once, and he got struck by lightning. So, I thought that was pretty funny. Because, you know... that's always a good reason to not tell the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they do have some reasons, you know.
Not good reasons, but...
Maybe they could explain that to Thea. Look, we were going to tell you the truth, honestly, but we're just a little worried about you.
Yeah, it happens. So, I don't know. Did we miss anything? I think that we covered all the major bases there.
Oh, there was so much in this episode, and it was... It was great. I did. There was a line by that line you said about Sebastian. I thought was great. I wanted to mention that, and you talked about that. But Officer Lance was talking to Sarah at the police station, and he's like, "Hey, does Oliver know? Does Oliver know all this? You know?" So he was totally talking to her like he didn't know he was the Arrow. So I thought that was kind of strange. We were talking about how we want him to find out, and maybe he does know more. But that was the one line. So I wanted to mention that. But
yeah, that reminds me of the other scene. Now, I just thought this was weird. Okay, so we're watching from the viewing room into the room where they've got Slade locked up. And I can't remember if he was being interrogated at that time, but someone was behind basically the mirror, you know, the one-way glass.
Uh-huh.
So there's a door next to that mirror, and then there's a door on the far side of the room next to the table where the person sits, where we've seen this interrogation room a number of times on the show before. So then later in the episode, Oliver comes in from the door with the mirror behind him, and he's talking to Slade, and, you know, he's like, you know, what is it? What did he say? Like, you know, why did you do it? And he's like, of all the questions you ask, that's the first thing you ask, you know, whatever it is. And, I'm like, dude, you guys are talking. Do you not realize there's like one, I mean, it's an interrogation room.
I wrote that down. I put
people are gonna be watching.
With an arrow in brackets, even if there isn't anybody behind that mirror, aren't they recording it? I mean, aren't they recording everything that they say?
It was just like, you know, and he goes, and I'm going to tell you that, oh, hey, Oliver, how did you get in here? I'm going to let Slade go now because he's free to go. Because, you know, it's like that. It was a great scene because it was like, and the killer is, oh, no, we can't find out the answer yet. But yeah, I just thought the logic in that scene was flawed. Sorry, Guy. I don't know if you were the one that that staged that, but it really jumped me out of the scene. Though the writing I thought was really nice, just the way that it was staged, I thought it was kind of weird. So,
Me too.
Any other little weird things like that? I think that was the only thing that really stood out to me.
Yeah, that was it. So I'm going to be trying to breathe a lot this week because I know that in a couple weeks I'm going to be holding my breath. They've got not a lot of episodes, but enough that I'm like, geez, where are they going to go? How are they going to make this even worse for Oliver, and how in the world is he going to fix it all? So yeah. I'm excited to find out, and we'll find out in 2 weeks on the next episode, which I believe is called called The Man Under the Hood? Is that right? Or Under the Hood, maybe, I think.
No, I think it's The Man in the Hood.
The Man in the Hood, okay.
Which is cool, because already I can tell that there are several great, things that that are already percolating in my head about who is the man in the hood.
Me too.
There are a lot of hoods on the show.
The man under the hoodie. So I think that still counts. I think that still counts. That still counts as a hood.
You know what would be cool? Would be a Deathstroke hoodie. Be a nice little...
One of those like that you can zip up, where you zip up the face and it becomes the mask, like that one?
Yeah, or just pull it over your head so it kind of comes down in front of your eyes and then one eye's covered and the other one's open. You know, it has a hole cut in it or something like that. So.
Ooh. All right. Anyway. All Entertainment Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Think Geek.
Think Geek. They'll get right on that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please get on iTunes. Leave us some feedback. And also, send us some email. Those are always fun to look at. greenjustice@randomchatter.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @greenjusticepod. Or our Facebook page is facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
And you can also check out the other show that Josh and I do called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is available at the same place you get this episode of randomchatter.com. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.